Hello and welcome to the Highly Sensitive Leader podcast with highly sensitive certified coach, leadership expert, and qualified teacher, Muriel Kozowski. This podcast provides leadership tips, education, insights, stories, and mind hacks to create a space for highly sensitive leaders to self-educate, develop their career, and fulfill their potential. This podcast will help you understand the HSP trait in depth and show you how to manage, embrace, and use your HSP trait to your advantage in the corporate and business space. I will use my leadership expertise, my 20 years of experience being an HSP in high stimulation and extremely demanding work environments, as well as my guest expertise and wisdom to promote an inclusive and sustainable leadership culture for highly sensitive people. And remember, being highly sensitive is first and foremost a superpower, which we can learn to harness in order to shine bright as a leader and make a positive impact on the world. Now relax your nervous system, sit back and enjoy your journey. Hello and welcome to episode 65 of the Highly Sensitive Leader podcast with Muriel. Today we are discussing how to reframe irrational fears, a very juicy topic for highly sensitive leaders who, from what I can see in my own life and that of my clients, experience this every single day. But before we dive in, let's take a moment to arrive. It is a beautiful autumn morning as I'm preparing and recording this episode for you. And let me tell you, the autumn colors this year are fantastic. I was out on a hike yesterday and it has been pure delight all day with the autumn light and all the different shades of colors around us in nature. It was such a treat. As a highly sensitive person, colors and light make a strong impact on me, and it was wonderful to reconnect once again with nature, another source of calm for our highly sensitive nervous system. So if you find yourself a little frazzled or unsettled, take a break and reconnect with nature. It will give you everything you need. Also, a quick reminder before we dive in, if you are new to the podcast, welcome. And if you're not sure where to start with your high sensitivity, my free sensitivity questionnaire is available for you. 47 questions exploring the various ways your sensitivity shows up in your life, but also in your work and in your leadership. This is definitely the best place for you to start if you want to master your emotions, master your sensitivity, and increase your well-being and performance as a highly sensitive leader. Head to www.highly-sensitive-leaders.com to access, or to my LinkedIn profile and click Measure HSP Impact. All right. Let's get started. Reframing irrational fears. This is a huge topic for me and for many of my clients. It seems that the highly sensitive trait comes with what I call a fertile imagination. This imagination, although it helps us to express ourselves, our creativity, and contribute in very unique ways, also leads us to overthink, overanalyze, overcriticize, and perhaps even catastrophize ahead of time on things which have not happened yet and which will most likely never happen. I was discussing this with one of my clients a few months ago, and for her, the irrational fears were the dark side of being prepared. As a highly sensitive leader, she liked and needed to be prepared for every detail, whether it was for a meeting, a presentation, a conversation with a client. And I often talk and advocate for being prepared, for taking the time to plan, as we highly sensitive people don't do very well with improvisation, with making changes or finding solutions on the fly. Preparation is absolutely essential for us. However, what was happening is that she would take it to the extreme and think about all the possible disaster scenarios, not only in her work, but also in her personal life. And she was scaring herself ahead of time with these scenarios, which more often than not held her back from making the changes she wanted to see happen in her life, like evolving in her role, progressing a career, or moving to a different, more urban location, which all of these were on her wish list. And these irrational fears were sort of taking over her life and leading her decision making, keeping her stuck in habits which were not serving her anymore. So today I'm giving you some strategies and tools to help you, first of all, identify where you might have irrational fears, which most of the time go unnoticed purely because they seem very real to us, so we don't question them. They come up and we make them part of our mental landscape and treat them as problems to solve. So I want to show you how to question these fears to get better control of the fears which are quote unquote legit, which you need to put effort and focus on, and those which might belong to the realm of unmanaged sensitivity. And we'll see in a moment that there are plenty of reasons why a highly sensitive person will have irrational fears. And I will teach you why it is important for you, for your future, for your career, to pay attention to them, and what could be the consequences of letting them run your life in the background unnoticed. And then I will teach you some of the telltale signs which have been there for me and for my clients, as well as some key strategies for you to work on these fears, to work on processing them, and perhaps giving them less importance than you think they might have in order to focus on what's truly important to move your life and your career forward as a highly sensitive leader. First, I would like to clarify what I mean by irrational fears, specifically in the context of being highly sensitive and of how our HSP trait manifests in our, you know, everyday life and work, part of which can be by having irrational fears and anxious thoughts about the future. So I will discuss and give examples of what these fears are and how they manifest in our everyday life in small and subtle ways, and sometimes in not so subtle ways. So the context of being HSP is important here because there are needs and fears which keep coming up as patterns in my experience and which are very specific to being highly sensitive. I also want to clarify that I'm not talking about phobias here. You will find these two terms, phobias and irrational fears, used together a lot of the time. They're just swapped around. And here I'm only talking about irrational fears which might cause us this stress, but which generally don't stop us from functioning completely like a phobia would. So if you have a phobia of spider, if you see a spider, you will stop functioning. You will just run away or scream, or, you know, you can't function until, you know, the spider is gone. This is not what I'm talking about. And irrational fears can also, in the sense that, you know, I want to talk about, can also show up in different, like, different ways and different areas of your life. Whereas phobia are usually focused on a specific activity or item, such as I just said, spiders or maybe flying or crowds. You know, it's very kind of focused on something in particular. And I just wanted to mention that this is not what I'm trying to address here. So remembering that I'm addressing irrational fears, which cause us some form of distress, but don't stop us from functioning. And I'm also addressing this in the context of being highly sensitive, and it's a very specific context. So just to be clear, and this is perhaps the difficulty of what I'm trying to address here, because trying to distinguish between a fear that is normal and healthy, and identify when this fear is taken too far in an irrational way and stops us from being at our best or from being, you know, from having a positive experience. Trying to do this is challenging. It's difficult. So, you know, this is the difficulty. This is what we are tackling. And there's often a fine line between the two. And in the case of most highly sensitive leaders I have worked with, including myself, learning to know where this line is and learning what to do about it is something we do need to focus on if we are to fulfill our potential and access our amazing HSP gifts. So what exactly is an irrational fear for me in the context of being HSP? Let's answer that question first. So there are two ways I see these irrational fears manifest, both for myself and for my clients. And the first way is when I perceived a threat in the moment and fear that things will go horribly wrong in the moment. So, for instance, if I am scheduled to meet with a new client, and I am maybe, I don't know, 15 minutes away from the meeting, I could suddenly have the thought that my internet is going to stop working, or that I will not know what to say, or that the client will somehow be unhappy with my service, or that power in my house will suddenly shut off, leaving me in the dark. And if I have a meeting elsewhere, not in my office, then, you know, if I need to take the train or, you know, drive my car, I imagine that the train is not going to come at all, or that my car is going to break down on the way. These are the irrational fears that I'm experiencing in the moment. So this is the first way. And I recently bought a house, and every time we get a letter from the bank, particularly the bank, in the post, my first thought is that they might be taking the house back from us. This is just something that comes up, and that we are somehow bankrupt and not able to pay for it anymore. This is crazy, but this is what is coming up for me, those irrational fears, those anxious thoughts in the moment. And one of my clients, I'm just going to call her M, often had the thought that she would get fired every time she had a one-on-one with her manager. Although things were going really well and there was no sign of this happening at all, she just would have that thought. And these are a few examples of how these irrational fears come up in the moment. And as you can see, in none of these examples are there actual threats, which is why there are irrational fears. And these fears come up for us as a thought that feels very real and creates an intense emotion, maybe in your body. For me, it's very often in my stomach, for example, which just starts like churning sort of thing. And this in turn makes us respond and react and maybe even make a decision in a certain way. So these are very important to take into account. The second way they manifest these irrational fears is when a fear pops up around a fictional future situation, which is either scheduled to take place or not even yet scheduled to take place. So just to give you more examples, before I started my business, I often had the fear that I would be evicted from my rented flat if I became self-employed, even when I had savings in the bank for, you know, to last me for months. And the worst possible scenarios came up in my mind, which held me back from taking this project seriously for several years. And as a highly sensitive person prone to having these fears, I really had to work on myself to overcome them and start envisaging the future in a more positive, less scary way. And the way I see this manifest a lot with my clients is when they want to progress or contribute and want to apply maybe for promotion or even just discuss it with their manager, or perhaps they want to volunteer for or propose an initiative or ask for something which will allow them to bring a solution forward. And one of my clients who is a hypersensitive leader, she's the most sensitive person I've ever met. She was held back for over 18 months over her job before realizing through working with me that a variety of irrational fears were holding her back from progressing in her career. She didn't know. She had no idea. And every time she was thinking of applying for something, either internally or externally, her brain would come up with all the scenarios of what could go horribly wrong. She was scared to not do the job well, to disappoint her manager, to struggle finding her fit into the team, to let her children down, to let her family down, to not have enough time to look after everyone, to disappoint her parents. She was a grown-up woman. To have too much transport, to get to work, to be a failure, and the list went on and on and on. And all of these fears, none of which had actually already happened yet, and which had not particularly happened in the past either, came up every single time in a kind of mumble jumbo sort of way, like all over the place. And these fears were irrational in the sense that they were produced by my client's naturally sensitive, anxious, and detail-orientated mind. And although they felt very real to her, they weren't grounded in any form of reality or evidence. And they were in many ways the product of her imagination, and an imagination which in other contexts could be very useful, but which in this one didn't serve her at all. She wanted to be prepared and certain, but in this process she was digging herself a rabbit hole of fear, which was keeping her stuck in spite of her tremendous potential and skill set. I repeat, her tremendous potential and skill set. It was all there, but the fear was getting the upper hand. And this is what we focused on in our coaching work, unpicking each of these fears one by one, identifying them, processing them, and finding a way to work with them rather than against them. Another example of when these irrational fears come up and block our success as highly sensitive leaders is when we are scheduled to have an interview or perhaps even present to a group. These sorts of situations. another one of my clients recently had an interview with a very renowned and famous tech company. And her irrational fears were around not succeeding, not being good enough, not being quote unquote on her game enough, not being able to answer questions, and leaving a bad image of herself. These were, in a nutshell, that these are the fears she was experiencing. And this led her to over-prepare and stress herself to an extent which was unhealthy. She designed a whole curriculum to get herself prepared and spent hours and hours preparing all sorts of scenarios, of questions, to the extent that she exhausted herself and got ill. She is already prone to insomnia and worked herself up this way. And this led her to sleep 2 hours the night before the interview. And this kind of over-the-top preparation was, of course, a way to alleviate her fears and find some reassurance, some way to support herself and manage very strong emotions of fear and anxiety. But the outcome was that she showed up being what she described as a shadow of herself, which is the exact opposite of the outcome she was hoping for. And when we reviewed her preparation process, we went over what led her to prepare the way she did, as she recognized that this was unhealthy for her and wanted to do things differently. But we started with the irrational fears, with, you know, what happened emotionally behind the scenes, which propelled her to behave the way she did, so that she can bring a fundamental shift for the next interview. One thing to remember and acknowledge, if you are highly sensitive yourself, of course, but also if you know someone who is that these fears can be quite intense. They can disrupt our concentration, and they can drive a whole set of behaviors, sometimes without us even noticing what we're doing, noticing that we are responding to a self-created stimulus, to stories we are telling ourselves for a number of reasons. And these stories are not rooted in reality. These stories don't reflect at all what we have experienced previously. Sometimes they do, and I will also talk about that. And most importantly, they don't reflect our potential in any case. They don't reflect our potential. They don't reflect what we are capable of, and also what we actually want for ourselves. And the intensity with which we experience these fears can be felt physically, as I said earlier, in the stomach, in the neck, in, you know, body sensations, in maybe a shallower breathing. And they are also experienced mentally, as they might create brain fog, confusion, an inability to make decisions, or maybe a difficulty to focus. Another important thing to remember is that the brain doesn't distinguish between real fears, like real threats, and imagined fears and threats. The response of the body and the mind will be very similar either way, which is why some people experience stage fright or fear of flying. This is why it is so important to work on these fears if you have them, as they will keep you stuck the same way real fears and real threats would. I have spent a lot of time thinking about why HSPs might be more prone to irrational fears, big or small, in their everyday life and their work, and maybe even in their leadership. I also spent a lot of time with clients identifying these fears and they are sometimes very hard to bring into the conscious. And I have spent, you know, a lot of time teaching people to process those fears, to work with them and get unstuck, which is why I also want to flag out, you know, things to look out for and strategies. So looking at my own life as an HSP and looking at the experience of my clients, some patterns seem to emerge in the way HSPs experience life and seem to experience similar needs or fears. And what I want to do is describe some of these patterns for you to see whether that is relevant for you as a highly sensitive leader, as a highly sensitive person, and measure how much your life might be affected adversely by needs or fears which go unnoticed and uncared for. So there are four underlying fears which I see come up in various shapes and forms again and again in my clients' lives, in my life, and they are the following. The first is fear of betrayal, or fear of being betrayed by a loved one or by someone close to us. The second is fear of abandonment, which for me has been probably the biggest fear in my life since I was little. The third one is fear of rejection, mostly from other people or groups we are part of. And the fourth one is fear of death. So fear of betrayal, fear of abandonment, fear of rejection, and fear of death. So this might sound extreme, and I'm not saying that all highly sensitive people experience all of these all of the time. This is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that in some way, shape, or form, these fears might be a constant in your life in big or small ways. Remember, it can be small and it can be subtle. And that they might be blocking you or keeping you stuck in some way in your relationships, in your work, in your career, in your leadership. What is also important is to think, you know, again, that these fears are sometimes, most of the time, not rooted in reality, or perhaps have come to be from a previous experience which has exacerbated your natural tendency to align with these fears. This is, I worked recently with one of my clients, and she experienced fear of betrayal a lot, and this was rooted in previous experiences, which exacerbated that tendency that she had. Now, the question I want to offer for you to, you know, ask yourself is, to what extent am I experiencing these fears? When are they triggered? Think about situations or scenarios where they might come up. And again, this is not always in a big, obvious way. Sometimes it is, but not always. Think about the case studies I shared earlier. The challenges presented by my clients on the surface were never about irrational fears. They were about applying for promotion or preparing an interview. You know, it was that was the topic of the conversation. So these fears can be subtle, which is why it is important to become aware of them in a deeper way. So I want to share an anecdote with you about the fear of death. So for me, the way I experience this irrational fear is around the death of other people who are close to me. I'm not really afraid of my own death, ironically. And I know that death can happen at any time, at any moment, but I experience some irrational fears that just come up out of nowhere. And I just wanted to share one story with you that I've experienced. So when I was younger, maybe around 10 or 11, somewhere like that, I used to have a very intense fear that my dad would die, especially in the winter when it was dark in the morning. So I think the darkness was just exacerbating my fear. I used to wake up early, hear my dad get ready. I would still be in bed, of course, and it would be dark outside still. And I remember this like it was yesterday. He would leave early for work before anyone else, and I would hear him leave and be afraid that he would die and never come back. Even writing this now, I feel it so intensely in my body, that fear. 30 odd years later. This went on every morning for a long period of time, and then it probably subsided at some point. And to this day, I still have moments when I am suddenly afraid that a parent or close friend would die out of nowhere suddenly. The thought just pops into my head from time to time, even now. So this is a story I wanted to share because although I think these are the things that we don't often share, you know, with people. Maybe we think, oh, you know, I'm crazy, or, but I think that these are a lot more common than we think. And that it's not just if you're experiencing these sorts of fears, whether it's betrayal, abandonment, you know, rejection or death, or these are more common than we think. And I think it's important to not be ashamed to share them and to acknowledge the fact that they are there. And they might be irrational. They might be going beyond that line of normal and healthy. But yeah, I do think that it's important to acknowledge that it's okay to have these fears. So this brings me to kind of the second set of patterns, and these are around needs. So these are the needs that I see emerging as a pattern for highly sensitive leaders, the people I work with and myself, and which I believe those needs arise from the fears that I stated above. And for me, there are four needs that I have observed in myself and in my clients that I want to share with you. The first one is the need for safety, physical and psychological, on both, you know, levels. Need for safety. That's the first. That's the one that comes up all the time. The second one is the need for trust, as in being able to trust someone, to be able to engage in a relationship, to be able to collaborate. So the need for trust. The third one is the need for reassurance. And the fourth one is the need for validation, which is also extremely common with the highly sensitive people I work with. So the need for safety, both physical, psychological, the need for trust, the need for reassurance, and the need for validation. And as you can see, these needs are kind of correlated to some extent to the above fears. And again, the question becomes whether you are experiencing these needs, to what extent you are experiencing them, and what situations trigger them. One last pattern I wanted to share with you is what I call extreme thinking, or all or nothing thinking, which I have experienced a lot and see also in my highly sensitive clients. And perhaps one way this can manifest is, for instance, if you have an interview, you will think that you will either smash it or completely flunk it. There's no like in between, that you will either feel like a superhero or you will feel like the last loser on the planet. And in the example I gave earlier about starting my own business, I would be in extreme thinking a lot, especially at the start in the first year or so. And I was, you know, oscillating between thinking I was, you know, either going to make millions and be extremely successful, or I was going to sleep under the bridge with like no money and no home. So I was constantly jumping from one extreme to the next. And this extreme thinking is for me the way our brain processes these irrational fears, going from complete panic to complete reassurance And none of these strategies are really rational when we think about it. And the idea, of course, is to find more of a middle ground and a balanced, rooted way of thinking, a thinking that is more rational and more objective. So now that we have defined what irrational fears are, we have broken these fears down and studied some concrete examples, the question becomes, what do we do with them, right? So one question I often ask myself and help my clients answer is, you know, where is this line? Where is this line between a healthy and legitimate amount of fear and fears overtaking our thinking capabilities and our behavior? Fear is in itself a legitimate and necessary emotion, which has helped us stay alive and preserve our assets over the millions of years of evolution. Fear is what keeps us safe and alive. However, what do we do when we experience fears in unnecessary, potential blocking way? When fear is, you know, legitimate, and on the other hand, when does fear itself become a threat to our mental health and our professional development? These are all the questions that we need to unpick. And this is a very important topic to look at for ambitious, you know, driven, highly sensitive leaders, because unmonitored fears will have drastic consequences and impacts on our ability to progress our career, our businesses, and access our gifts and full potential. And a lot of these fears are subconscious, meaning that we don't experience them as such. And irrational fears often go unnoticed because they feel so real and so part of our reality. They feel like the truth, especially for people with high sensitivity who experience their emotions intensely. These fears could infiltrate all areas of your life and influence what you do and how you feel, which is why it is so crucial to pay attention to them. So to help you out, I'm going to give you some concrete things to look out for, which might be signs of you being run by your own irrational fears. So I'm going to give you a few situations just to look out for. So first, if you have a lack of boundaries and tend to say yes without really wanting to, that you could be run by irrational fears. If you have a tendency to say no to new things and new offers which feel unfamiliar, there might be some fears there as well. If you stay in a situation which feels off or uncomfortable for too long, and for too long, I mean months. I have a client who stayed, I think I said that earlier, in her unfulfilling job for over 18 months before, you know, we started working on those irrational fears. If you find it difficult to trust people, or you easily take this trust away, which is something I've recently experienced in a friendship. And I was just going from full trust to really putting my trust into question. And I realized that most of it was happening because of some irrational fears I was experiencing about this friendship. If you find yourself unable to make decisions on a regular basis, there might be some irrational fears, you know, blocking you. If you have a tendency to over-prepare and working yourself up in this process, there might also be irrational fears to look at. So these are some of the signs I have experienced myself and worked on with clients, all of which came to be because of irrational fears, or fears exacerbated by previous experiences, which can also happen, and which perhaps had not been processed correctly using the HSP lens that I like to use with my clients. So I want to offer for you to have a think about the relevance of these signs for you and how they might be affecting your life right now. The key question being, you know, what are you afraid of? Of course, always going back to that, which also sends us back to the four, you know, main fear patterns we talked about earlier. And these reflections can be uncomfortable. And please, if you need help with this, do reach out to me or to a person you trust so you are supported in the process. And this being said, this initial discomfort, you know, the initial discomfort of this work will undoubtedly open many doors for you as an HSP. So this is maybe the price to pay, right, to access your full potential and being at your best, feeling at your best. So here are three strategies for you to start using today to get started on, you know, identifying, processing, and overcoming your irrational fears. The first strategy is rest and self-care. So, but mostly rest. And I've noticed that there's a direct correlation between the amount of fears and catastrophizing I experience and how rested I am or how I'm lacking rest. There's a direct correlation. I can notice that. And I can notice that with a lot of my clients. And it often happens that I start working with clients who are highly sensitive and they say, yeah, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to, I'm rested. But when we start digging into it a little bit more, then, you know, then the routines are all over the place and they are studying three different programs at once. And, you know, they're not easing off into their evening routines. Maybe they're just like, get up and go in the morning and then crash in bed in the evening and they just don't sleep well. And so, you know, I think really questioning the rest that you're getting and the quality of the rest that you're getting, the quality of your routines, the quality of your self-care routines, there is a direct, for highly sensitive people, this is extremely important. It will set the backdrop, right, of how you experience your day, how you experience your life. So this is really important. There is a direct correlation between the amount of irrational fears you're going to experience and how rested you are. The second one is to start developing an awareness of this line I was talking about earlier between fears that are, you know, necessary and healthy and, you know, that kind of trigger that response of us being more confident and you know, taking over, you know, not taking over, but taking control of our life, etc. So the line between this and irrational fears taking over and keeping us, you know, a little bit stuck, a little bit paralyzed in cycles of anxiety. So, you know, I think that for me personally, the ratio is usually a 80-20. So 80% of the fear I experienced are irrational and 20% are kind of rational fears that I need in my life. And this is just personal. It might be different for you. So kind of thinking about that ratio can be quite useful. And you know, when that happens and I say, oh yeah, this is my tendency to exaggerate. This is what I do. I just exaggerate. And that's okay. I have a lot of irrational fears. I'm aware of it. I'm not ashamed of it. This is who I am. And the more I accept and work on these fears, and then the healthier I am and the more I can access my potential and be at my best. So that's all good. And within this awareness, I think it's important to develop a holistic approach. And what I mean by holistic is that, you know, looking at your life as many different pockets and many different areas and not just singling out, like, let's say, work or, you know, leadership or, you know, my family or, you know, kind of, because one area might affect another area or many other areas. It's highly likely that a behavior you have in one area will be reproduced in some kind of way in another area of your life. And I am currently working with a client who, you know, we've been coaching together for probably over a year now, and we've been focusing a lot on her work and her career, but we recently found out that there was a lot of kind of core fears and needs hidden in her personal life, which actually held her back in her work. So, you know, I think that holistic approach, finding out about this line between the irrational and the necessary in a holistic way is very important. So don't single out, you know, one area in your life. And finally, the last maybe tip or strategy is to find a healthy way to be prepared. And, you know, kind of that over-preparing, over-focusing on the details, over-focusing on that kind of, you know, self-criticism and just all those details that are going to trigger those fears and those stories that we tell ourselves. So, I think you never have to worry if you're highly sensitive. You will never have to worry that you're not doing enough. You are literally programmed to be over-prepared as an HSP. So you don't have to worry about that. I think what you have to worry about is more like streamlining your preparation, going to the essential, you know, and focus on what alleviates the fears. So for me, for example, going back to this, you know, interview preparation is really thinking about a couple of trick questions that we don't want to be asked, that we're not comfortable with, you know, thinking about our timings and, you know, how to arrive a little bit early, how to sort out our sleep and our food, and just develop that sense of kind of the safety I was talking about earlier, that physical safety, that psychological safety, that kind of reassurance of creating that for ourselves, that will help. But not in a kind of over the top, kind of overkill sort of way, more like in a streamlined, self-care orientated sort of way. So healthy way to be prepared, I think that's what we're aiming for. So this is everything I have for you today. I hope this was useful. So I want you to remember the strategies, you know, rest and self-care, developing your awareness around that line between the healthy, the normal, and the irrational, and finding healthy ways to be prepared. And I'd like to leave you with a quote today, which is a quote from Nelson Mandela, who I probably don't need to introduce. He says, I quote, "The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear." Very simple quote, but very powerful. So it's not about, you know, not being afraid. We will be afraid. And for some of us, being highly sensitive, we might be more afraid than average. So it's all good. Accepting that fear, but learning to conquer that fear is really what matters. So on this note, take really good care of yourselves, and I will speak with you very soon. Bye-bye. If you are ready to take control of your high sensitivity to feel and perform at your best as a leader, I want to invite you to join the Power Hour, an accessible and flexible coaching solution specifically designed for highly sensitive leaders. Sometimes all it takes is an hour or two to solve a specific problem that is holding you back. Your high sensitivity is showing up right this moment in a way which is very specific to you. The Power Hour will give you what you need to solve your problem right now. To learn more, visit www.highly-sensitive-leaders.com. I will see you there.